Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Tuesday, March 30th. I am Michael Beller, joined, if you are watching us on YouTube, as you can see, by Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston. Guys, you know, this is, right, I mean, if there's going to be a dead period in the NFL calendar, it's probably now, after all the free agency fun has happened, before we're really starting to talk about the draft in the way, at least, that we would talk about it in the fantasy world, when we're really starting to get guys into certain places and talk about the fantasy impact that they could have. But the NFL came through for us here with a couple pieces of big news that we're going to talk about. We've got a huge draft day trade that could influence, that will influence, where some fantasy key pieces are going to land, and then what those guys are going to influence on the teams they land on. So we've got that to talk about. And we've got a 17th game that no one seems to want except for the moneymakers surrounding the NFL. So, well, let's talk about those two things here today. Guys, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I already jumped ahead and said I want it. So we'll preview that. I definitely want it. I want 18.
You want 18. Well, I was just going to say, Jake, it probably didn't seem like a dead period when you were working through 85 draft prospects to put out, or didn't feel like a dead period when I was editing the 8,000-plus words that you put out on those 85 draft prospects. But yes, the trade hoopla certainly adds to that. So it's been, there hasn't really been much rest in this NFL quote-unquote offseason.
yeah, for sure. And, you know, we'll talk about all 85 of those guys. We're going to save that for when we get a little bit closer.
Let's not talk about all 85 of them.
Well, not all 85. We're going to talk about a lot of them as we get a little bit closer to the NFL draft. But we're going to save that for a few weeks from now. Jake's going to get himself some time off. I would say some pretty well-deserved time off at some point here. So we'll probably be taking a week off from the show when that happens. I mean, you know, Jake, you gotta get away for a little bit. Are you gonna go anywhere? Are you just gonna like stick at home and just take some time off? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I haven't even got there yet. My brain doesn't work that far ahead.
Oh man, well, it worked far ahead enough to get 85 draft prospects out, and it worked far ahead enough to start thinking about what this trade might mean. So there were a lot of moving parts to this big draft day trade between the 49ers, the Dolphins, and the Eagles. But for our purposes here, what we're really concerned about is the Niners moving up to the 3 spot, the Dolphins dropping to the 6 via the 12, and the Eagles dropping down to that 12 spot. So we know there's a bunch of other future draft picks, and that's why the Eagles are dropping to 12 and the Dolphins didn't drop back too far and picked up some draft picks along the way. Whatever, we know that. But 3 Niners, 6 Dolphins, 12 Eagles, that's what we're most concerned with for our discussion here today. So let's start right at the top, Jake. Niners moving up to 3. They're going to take a quarterback. I mean, if you're sitting here and you're thinking about all those Niners in the fantasy world already, who do you want this to be? I mean, what do we make of the Mac Jones rumors? What are we thinking as we think about the 49ers making the third overall pick in this draft?
Look, they're not going to really go too far with what they're telling everybody, because maybe there's somebody who's going to overpay again. Remember the Trubisky trade and move up, and maybe
vaguely,
they'll move
yes,
down.
Yes, vaguely.
Maybe they'll move down a spot or two, and you know, maybe Shanahan's sitting here thinking, because you've now heard, actually the day of, we heard, oh, they're trading up for Justin Fields. Oh, they're trading up for Mac Jones. Oh, they're trading up for Trey Lance. So it's like everybody, and maybe that's Shanahan. Maybe Shanahan likes two of them, and somebody comes crazy on draft day. And so I think that when we talk about the Dolphins too, I think it was smart for these teams to be making trades now, because the draft capital is only going to increase of what you have to give up on draft day when you become more panicked and want your guy. But look, I think it should be Fields. I think Fields should be the number two quarterback. I think that the Jets taking Wilson is going to be a mistake in the long term, although I don't think there's a huge gap. I would definitely go Fields. If Wilson slightly better, wouldn't shock me, but to pass again on Fields when you get to the third quarterback for Mac Jones or Lance would be even doubling down on that mistake. So The rumors out there are Jones. I don't necessarily believe it again because why are you going to give away? Like, this, we see this all the time. Why are you giving away what you're going to do on draft day? But if it is, you know, Shanahan can get the most out of most players, especially running backs we know. And he can get a hell of a lot. If he likes a quarterback, he can develop the quarterback and he can make him into something. So I don't think Mac Jones should be the number three quarterback. I think Mac Jones is kind of a safe quarterback and, you know, maybe that's what he likes. And he offers a little bit more in some areas. But if you're talking about, everybody keeps trying to read into the Josh Allen, like we don't want to lose to that kind of quarterback talk that we heard last year. And if you're going down that route, I mean, Trey Lance is the definitive Josh Allen in this draft class. He is somebody who needs to sit for a year, who has some issues like Josh Allen with accuracy and decision-making, but has all the skills of Josh Allen, including the run game. So if you're talking about looking at that way and saying Jimmy Garoppolo is our quarterback for now, maybe that's his plan. Maybe that's his plan. It's like, okay, I want Trey Lance. I think he's got the future of a Josh Allen, but I don't want him to play this year. So we're happy with where we are, and we're drafting for 2022. So I could see all three being there, but if you ask, like you said, the question was, who would I want? I'd go Fields, but I understand any of the three. Honestly, probably Mac Jones would probably be my last that I would go for because he's got the lowest ceiling in my opinion. He's the safest, but also the lowest ceiling.
I'll just chime in from a personal, you know, standpoint of being a Seahawks fan. I love the trade as a Seahawks fan for the 49ers because look, we're talking about five first-round quarterbacks this year. How many of them are going to be good? Two and a half? Right. Two and a half? And we know the one of them is going to absolutely be Trevor Lawrence. So that just makes – that's like a, you know, a 1-4 roulette for San Francisco. What they have to give up? They gave up their first this year and two more firsts in the next 2 years. And they're such a good team right now. And as a Seattle fan, I was scared of what they would be able to do in the next couple of years with that draft capital and adding to what they already have there. And they were good enough just not that long ago to go to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo and be winning that Super Bowl and be on
by
the
two scores in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And they, and I really think that, look, at the way they're constructed, they could probably continue to do that with Jimmy Garoppolo. Last year was just a bunch of, you know, the stars didn't align, a lot of bad injuries and stuff like that, but there's no reason why they couldn't have come back this year and done the same thing. And I feel like they've mortgaged their future a bit for a big dice roll.
Our pal and colleague Michael Salfino, I've seen him talking a lot about how he believes that, you know, it's all about environment, right? And that whichever quarterback ends up in San Francisco is going to be the best fantasy quarterback this year because they have the best environment around him. I think that's a bit of a stretch when you're considering how good Trevor Lawrence is and the fact that Jacksonville is not exactly putting a bad environment around him that he's stepping into with all the playmakers that he's going to have. But let's just attack this from the standpoint of will whoever ends up being the starting quarterback in San Francisco this season be fantasy viable because of all the weapons he is going to have around him? What do you got here, Jake?
Well, no, because I don't think they're starting this year. I think even if it's Mac Jones.
What if it's Garoppolo? I mean, whoever's the person in San Francisco.
No, I don't. No, Garoppolo, no. Because if it's Garoppolo, no. And so if it takes a few weeks for Mac Jones or whoever it might be, if it's Lance, the fact is quarterbacks, everybody's going to remember Justin Herbert last year, and that's going to skew a lot of things. You know, Brandon said 2.5 because I think some of the best drafts have been 3. Like if you go all the way back to the Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers was 3. Some of the other drafts like Lamar Jackson, like the best you're probably seeing is 3. Maybe if you include the entire draft, like a fourth slips in there. So that's why I think you went with the 2.5. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon.
That was about right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'd say Lawrence is definitively. You could make a case for Wilson because he has some scrambling ability. I think if Fields ended up there or Fields ended up with the number 3 pick and they were willing to go with Fields from day one, you could because of the rushing ability. But that's the problem. We're talking fantasy viable. You have to land in the scenario where you're starting quickly and you have to have some rushing upside. So whoever lands in San Francisco, if they're not starting day one, I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo for fantasy. Yeah. I don't. I never have. And you could go back and check the tape on that one. I never have. I never got into the hype. I thought it was ridiculous at the time. But even if somebody's there, they're probably not starting day one, and that's the issue. So if you said, okay, Mac Jones takes over week 7, maybe from there on out, I'll be interested. But I just think with how deep quarterback is at this point, no, I don't think San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure anybody who wasn't watching the video shaking my head, no, Trevor Lawrence is definitively the best fantasy quarterback in this draft class, because let's not underrate the Jacksonville Jaguars skill players around them. They don't have George Kittle, but that's a hell of a squad that and they're not done. And they still have the draft too.
Yeah. You know, I think to your point, if Jimmy Garoppolo going to be relevant in fantasy, how do you just like 16? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he was. He was number 15 when he played in 2019 at 20, right around 4,000 there. If he plays 16 games, he'll be unrelevant in my mind, but I think he'll be like, you know, one of the better QB2 second quarterback league kind of quarterbacks. But yeah, I think if you were to put a rookie. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Matthew Stafford?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he'll be relevant. I think whoever starts
will Matthew Stafford last year.
There's enough weapons there. I mean, it's certainly, if it's a Justin Fields or somebody like that, and you can throw the rushing numbers in there, absolutely. You know, look at Jalen Hurts for as you know, kind of, you know, unrefined as he is right now in that mess, we know that the ability to run is going to shoot your ceiling up so much higher. So, yeah, just another feather in the cap if the guy that they have behind center is a guy that can also run.
Where's Carolina left in all this? Where do we? I mean, because, you know, they've obviously been linked to a lot of quarterbacks, and Justin Fields is a guy who gets mocked to them a lot. I mean, are they sort of left out in the cold? Do we think they could try to trade up and get back into this and get themselves into Justin Fields territory?
No, I think they would have if they wanted to. I think that they're kind of in a situation, if they're happy with Bridgewater, they know they could upgrade, but unless they could upgrade in the way they want to, they're not going to get crazy. So if something happens on draft day and Fields is getting close to them, maybe they move up a spot or two, you know, like something like that. Or maybe they're a quarterback, and maybe they don't like Fields. You know, there's some parallels people are drawing, because we know what people will do with quarterbacks and the parallels that they're drawing. But there are differences between Fields and Bridgewater. It's like when you look at the quarterback themselves. So maybe their guy isn't Fields. Maybe their guy was Zach Wilson, and maybe they didn't want to trade up unless it was Zach Wilson. And from hearing that the Jets turned down reportedly the same deal that San Francisco was offering, because they want Wilson, then if they don't want anybody else, then they're going to sit tight and maybe just go with Bridgewater and sit into next year. And although next year's draft class isn't looking too great as of today, but unless, like I said, unless their guy ends up slipping a little bit, I think they're fine going with what they have. You know, sometimes, you know, unless it's the argument I always make is like, unless you're getting your franchise quarterback, like I'm the guy who likes to go in and say, you know what, give me a franchise quarterback. If I fail, I'll do it again in 3 years until I get my guy, because I don't want to be stuck in the Andy Dalton perpetuity of he's good enough that we can win with him, but he's not going to be the guy that makes us a championship team. And I'm not trying to hate on Andy Dalton, but there's a lot of guys like that. Like, we could go down the list of Ravens quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Trent Dilfer, all these quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls with teams. You could put Eli Manning in that conversation. You put Eli Manning on a different team, and he probably doesn't have two Super Bowl wins. Mm-hmm. Like, there's guys you can win with. I'd rather find the guy that will make me win. And they might realize that Teddy Bridgewater might be the guy you can win with, but so are some of these quarterbacks in the draft. And they're just fine with, well, then why spend the capital to move up in the draft to get exactly what they have anyway?
Yeah, and I think the problem is now you have the top three teams automatically we know are going to draft a quarterback, and we don't know who San Francisco is going to draft. Right. And then Atlanta could take a quarterback as well. So the top four teams are in play for a quarterback. The only team, you know, in top five, it's not, is Cincinnati. So what are you trading up for? You don't know what you'd end up with, even if you did, and you're not going to be able to trade up with the teams that want the quarterbacks and jump ahead of them to get the quarterback, you know, and take it away from them. So it's going to be tricky. I think you're better to wait and see how the landscape kind of plays out for the first five picks or four picks. And then, you know, or find out whether Atlanta wants to take a quarterback. And if not, maybe they're the team that ultimately makes a deal with like a Carolina. But San Francisco not kind of revealing their hand makes it tough right now.
Exactly. And I think you're going to. So it's that and what people. I threw that out, Brandon. I'm glad you mentioned this. I said if Atlanta's sitting there at four and the quarterback that Carolina likes is there, it's a perfect situation. But people threw out, like, you're going to trade into inside the division. Okay, two things here is, yes, division trades happen. If it's the best offer, it's the best offer. Atlanta's not going to sit there and be like, screw that, we could get all these picks, we don't want Carolina. So, but there is going to be an not an exorbitant price increase, but there is going to be a price increase because it is in the division. So you're right and you're wrong at the same time. Like, if Atlanta knows it's the best deal and they can't get anything else and it will help their team, they'll take it. But they're probably going to ask a little bit more because it is Carolina. So you might have that fighting where Carolina doesn't want to give up that much because they didn't want to give up that much to get to Zach Wilson, which might not be an option anyway. But maybe they're like, hey, we'll give up a first and a third, but that's it. And Atlanta might come back and be like, no, give us two firsts and that type of thing. So I could see it, and I'm with you, Brandon, but Atlanta might just be in that situation where it's the division trade and that might hold things off.
Well, so it depends on the perspective. If Atlanta's like, man, we can saddle Carolina with what is being graded as a fourth quarterback off the board in the draft, you know, plus we can take some draft capital from them. They may be eager to do that. So, it just depends on what their draft grades are.
Oh, you think Trey Lance is good? Yeah, he sucks. Take him.
Yeah, please. Exactly.
We will set this up for you on a silver platter.
Yeah, we want to play against that guy for the next few years.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's take a look at this from Miami and Philly's standpoint. I think that we had pretty much moved off the idea of Miami. If Miami was going to be making a move for a quarterback, then it didn't seem like they were going to draft one, right? It would be using Tua as a trade piece to upgrade with a veteran. Moving down to six, clearly, they're sticking with Tua for the 2021 season at the very least. So, what do we think about Tua now going into this new season, a season where he's unquestionably the starter for the Miami team? We know, obviously, that was not the case for him last year. Got half a season's worth or so of starts under his belt. Some interesting pieces in that Miami offense. How are we feeling about him going into this 2021 season? Where we add on Tua Tagovailoa as we're getting ready for the very, very early stages of draft prep, Jake?
If I could take this mic with me and run around the living room and do a victory lap, can I do that? Can I? It's just like, let me see.
As long as you're not going to damage any of your equipment, I mean, if you can figure it out, we'll let you do it.
We figure out a way to do it. Look, I said the exact, and that's why. I'm wrong on things, but I'm making a joke of it. But the Tua thing is what you're saying. As I said, unless, and this is before the situation with Watson started to unfold, but unless they were trading for Watson, Tua was going to be the quarterback. They weren't drafting one. You don't draft Tua last year. And off of a half of a season of being yanked in and out, and yes, he looked shaky at times, but they're switching the offense on him. It's a season where we talked about all these rookies, a lot of them, including the running backs, didn't show up till late in the season because no training camp, no preseason, all these things. And it's the same thing we talk a little bit about baseball. And for everybody, stick with me who hates baseball, but we throw out the 2020 season for some people, but not for others. It can't be both. Pick one. If we're going to say all these rookies were impacted by no offseason, you're asking a quarterback to come in. Look at the Cam Newton situation. You're asking a quarterback to basically do what Cam Newton did, who's not a veteran in the NFL, who needed some development. Tua's the guy. So I feel good about Tua. I don't think he's a QB1 for fantasy purposes, but I still think Tua is a very talented quarterback. I think Tua is in a great situation. I think the Dolphins are extremely smart in what they've been doing. They've essentially took a third, moved down to six to get a first and a third. That's you're going to do that every single time. I'll do that every single time. And that's the net result. And I still think it's because, and we actually had this text message exchange, I think it's they probably like two wide receivers and they figure, why spend the capital at four to draft that one? And when we can drop down a few spots and still get one of the two guys we like. And I think that's just what their confidence. They don't think three wide receivers are going inside the top seven because of the quarterbacks, and they can still get their guy. And maybe there's such a slim margin that they're happy with either one of them. And I still think they're getting their number one wide receiver of the future.
Yeah, and I was speculating, and I had this text exchange with Jake. I was just like, oh, would they consider a quarterback at number six, like a Mac Jones, who's been in, you know, who's teammates with Tua in college, and, you know, just to cover their bases, because, you know, they went out and they got Will Fuller.
Right.
But Jake was like, no, I think it's a receiver. And I've come around. I think it is a receiver. And I think they're going to end up getting their choice of the number one receiver. Because, again, I think it's very good, very likely that there'll be four quarterbacks in a row taken. And Cincinnati, who could take a receiver, I think goes with the insurance of Joe Burrow. They got to protect that guy. And it's got to be Penny Sewell in my mind. So I think what Miami ends up getting is probably Ja'Marr Chase if they feel like he's their number one guy. I would think, you know, my opinion, Jake's opinion, Ja'Marr Chase is the number one receiver. He's a stud. But if it's Devontae Smith they like or Jalen Waddell, whatever, I think they're going to have their choice of it. And I think that probably makes more sense. It doesn't make sense just looking across the draft board of defensive players and other players available that it's anybody other than a receiver. It doesn't make sense. It's a defensive player that they would make that move from 12 to 6.
How excited are we about that offense if that ends up being the case? So we got Tua, we've got Miles Gaskin for the time being, and then a Will Fuller, Devontae Parker, Ja'Marr Chase, or fill in the blank with a different receiver who they think is better. With that sixth spot, I mean, that becomes a pretty fun fantasy offense, doesn't it?
It does. And just to real quick to add one more point to that is that's why I'm even more confident in the wide receiver, because I think the doubling down of their movement is that they move down to 12. Well, two, three wide receivers could be off the board by then. So they move back up because they want to get their guy. So a lot of people were out there speculating, like, why do you move back up after getting – because they still want a wide receiver.
They must have had that all in place, right? I feel like they don't trade down from three if they don't know they're also moving back up to six.
Back up, 100%. Yeah. Like, I think they're working both deals at the same time. These are, like, what you see sometimes in fantasy is, like, I could trade this and then turn this person to whatever. And I always tell people, like, don't do it unless the second one is in your inbox and you can hit accept right after you hit the first one, because you don't want to do that. You don't want to get stuck at 12 if you're the Dolphins. So that's why I even think more so is that's why it's a wide receiver. So you put a wide receiver, whoever the three it might be, maybe they shock the world and it's not, and maybe they go Pitts, or maybe they go with a wide receiver that's not in my top three and just off the board. But the point being is this is going to be a fun offense, period. Unless Tua is just a failure in the NFL, and I don't think he is, there's nothing stopping this offense from being one of the most dangerous in the AFC, where now, no, they're not the Chiefs. No, they're not at that level, but we're talking top 10 offense. Easily doable.
Yeah, and I'll just reiterate what I said last podcast. Internally, they went out and they signed Will Fuller, one of the best deep threats in the league. You know, that tells me that they have some kind of confidence in just in seeing Tua on a day in and day out basis that he's going to be able to take advantage of Will Fuller's skills. And if they go out and they get a Ja'Marr Chase, it's kind of the same deal. And I think if Tua doesn't end up working out and you're investing in like someone like a Ja'Marr Chase, well, then you have him in place for the next quarterback that comes into play there. And then it's just hitting the ground running. So,
by the way, live update, Justin Fields just ran a 4.44.
I mean, just get, like, I would love him on that Niners team. How much fun could that be?
Oh,
on any team, period.
Any team is true, but like, I would much rather if you know I have no investment in the goodness or badness of either the 49ers or the Jets. Like, I just, as an impartial football fan, like, let's get Fields to San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan, and just not on the Jets, please.
Yeah, the interesting Shanahan, you can look at what he's done with his quarterbacks. Like, you go to Matt Ryan. Like, Matt Ryan had his MVP season with Shanahan. Robert Griffin, before he got hurt, had a great season with Shanahan. Yes. Like, he has a pretty good track record of getting the best out of what he has at quarterback. So that's scary. Again, going back to my Seahawks fandom, that scares me.
The 49ers offense not becoming a hopeless puddle with CJ Beathard or Nick Mullins filling in for an injured Jimmy Garoppolo, right? I mean, I would love to see Justin Fields there. So hoping impartial football fan of me wants to see that.
Chase Daniel. Where did he recently? Like, God, that guy is
he
just
signed somewhere. Where was
the
it?
Life of him.
I had to look this
Good
up.
Good grief.
Making Chase, another like quick, easy million, right? This season,
know,
wasn't that what
know
it was?
He's like, what isn't he like 34 now or even older? And he's just been hanging around. Everybody's backup in the freaking the Chargers.
Just look at who's the most durable quarterback and sign as a backup there.
He's 34.
He's coming to Seattle soon. You know,
Russell Wilson turns 35 in October, and here he is, just
He's got 69 games to his career. Over
they're going to have to do a. They're going to have to do a 30 for 30. Going to have to do a 30 for 30 on his career. Like, what an awesome, there's an argument to be made that Chase Daniel has had, like, the most fun career of any player in NFL history. Made all this generational wealth. He's got a ring, doesn't he?
Well, because he was on the Saints twice.
Yeah, so with the Saints. Yeah. Like, I mean, just unbelievable. What a career. Hats off to you, Chase Daniel.
Eagles? I'm not knocking him.
Oh, no, not at all. It's awesome. I wish I could have had Chase Daniel's
career.
Good
work if you can get it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Eagles, Jalen Hurts, moving back to 12. Obviously, this is more of a trade for the future for this Eagles team that feels like it is potentially in another maybe step of a rebuilding process here this season. But Hurts and this offense, I mean, how are we feeling about him going into the season?
You know, I'll just say that it seems like moving back to 12, if you look at a lot of the draft mocks and stuff, that is kind of the wheelhouse for the top tackles on the board, like the was it Slater from Northwestern and Elijah Vera Tucker? I mean, Sewell's going to be gone, but there's like three other really good tackles, and you see them all kind of in that mid to low teen range. And I think
Emory loves the one from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, is it Darashaw or somebody like that? But they need offensive line help, and I think that's kind of they traded back into the wheelhouse of the first round talent there. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
for their direction.
I wouldn't be shocked if they go wide receiver there to pair with Jalen Reagor, depending on what falls. But yeah, there's all this being said is you make that trade because they're trying to rebuild this team. And we know that, like Brandon said, but Fields is the answer. I say for now, or Hurts is the Fields. They're both the answer for now. Hurts is the answer for now. And I say for now because, you know, again, there's no guarantee as much as we can boast about their talents. We could also mention that even Trevor Lawrence isn't a guarantee, although if I think anybody screws up Trevor Lawrence, it's the Jaguars. But it comes down to, like, no player's a guarantee no matter how much we want to laud them for their ability. But yeah, Hurts, for fantasy purposes, you guys know I have him just inside my top 10, and it's mostly because of the rushing upside. And for anybody that wasn't listening at the time when we have talked about him, I think he's a perfect combination of, like, Josh Allen before Josh Allen became Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. Like, so you get more rushing upside, you get some of the inaccuracy, but you get overall where you could see him hitting that top 10. But I think that's what you need. Like, whether it's offensive line and wide receiver in the second round, they need to do things on this offensive line and for the receiving game to give him some more opportunities to succeed. Yeah. And we don't even know if Ertz is going to be there next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think it's going to be nice to see. It looks like they're going to purge Ertz, and they've already purged DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. Just kind of, that's a good reset button to push, definitely. I think.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun reset, I think, for that Philly team. And, you know, I can't remember exactly what weeks it was that Hurts was having his good games, but people at least got to their championship games because of what he was able to do as a runner once he took over from Carson Wentz. So he will be someone, I think, one of the more interesting guys that we look at once all the dust settles and we know what that team is taking into the 2021 season at the skill positions. A very interesting guy to debate this summer as we are really getting ready for our fantasy football drafts. All right, guys, we got a little bit more news to tackle before we wrap things up on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. And that's the fact that we're getting a 17th game in the 2021 season. I guess not officially, but all signs point to us getting a 17th game in the 2021 season and beyond. You already heard off the top, we have a little bit of a difference of opinion on this. I hate it. Jake likes it. I think that we have, I mean, the NFL, just 2 years ago, we had this perfect, beautiful playoff system with six teams that worked out just so nicely. Everything fit together really well. Two teams getting byes, four other teams in the playoffs. Loved it. We ruined that this past year by adding a seventh team that resulted in an 8-8 Bears team getting into the playoffs. And I think we're going to see more 8-8 teams in the playoffs in the future. Hate that. And now we have a 17th game. We're messing with a perfectly constructed schedule format that the NFL has. I hate it. Jake, you like it. Make the counter argument.
I mean, there's the counter argument is more football games. That's what all it'd be. But the only part to not like about it is it should be 18 because the unbalanced schedule, particularly home and away, is just ridiculous in my opinion. You got the entire, and just an example, and just because I know this has nothing to do, I'm not like, oh, poor Giants, because you know I don't want them to win anyway because I want Gettleman gone. But the fact is, like, you look at the entire NFC East, and they all play road games in the Week 17. Well, I don't know. This is officially
the whole NFC. The whole NFC is going to play road games.
Yeah. So, like, oh, it's the all the NFC. I didn't even look. It's the entire NFC.
It's the AFC, and they're alternating. So the AFC will. So every AFC team gets an extra home game this year. Every NFC team.
All right, that's not quite as bad.
2022 and so on.
I mean, that's not quite as bad because it's the entire NFC versus the entire AFC, and it's not like the NFC North and the NFC West get home games, and then the NFC East. So that's not. But it's still kind of stupid for that point being. It's just you're adding another imbalance to the schedule. But I like it more for a couple of reasons. Just not more games. It's, again, I kept going with, you know, I've been saying this for the longest time, the 18 games, two preseason games to offset it, two bye weeks, keep these players healthy, push it up to where Super Bowl lands on President's Day weekend every single year. And that's the biggest thing. But also is, talk about the balance thing. There's two parts here. So the NFL hasn't expanded their regular season for the longest of all the sports. It's actually been the, was it 1974 or something like that?
Yeah, like 78, I think. So we're talking about 43 years here.
Yeah, one of the longest. It needs to happen, but also is when the four divisions came up, and that's the biggest thing. Is it used to be, you guys remember this, it used to be a lot more flexibility with three or four games, even be earlier, where you could adjust the schedule for strength from the year before. Now it's just two games. So there's very little difference between finishing first and last in a division now of what your schedule should be for the next year. And I know the schedules don't always consistently overlap because we see teams go from worst to first and all that, but it just adds more. So, like, you add that extra dimension where you can strengthen or weaken the schedule even more, and I think that's more appealing. But I just want 18 games because I want more football. It's just really cool to say, I want more football. Get rid of the preseason. Equitably, get rid of, drop it down to two preseason games, and I want more football. And this is coming from somebody that now has to write an additional week. I don't mind writing an additional 2 weeks, but actually would be three weeks because you've had a second bye in there. But
18 is definitely better than 17.
That's my And if you want to argue that, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. You don't want more football. You want more all in to come up, you know, for lack of a better word, football, because you know, you're giving the Heisman to week 17 already in the crazy week, as you call it, but. I agree. I like more football. That's why my longtime league plays out week 17. But
you said you're going to play out week 18?
Absolutely. Somebody
asked about that, and I said, "Brett, it's the same argument. You're gonna, if you want to play week 18 champion, it's the same argument. Is
of course.
The reason people
it's going to be worse of an argument because they're going to be way more resting with a longer season. Now they're going to definitely, if there's any question, they will rest the guy.
I was going to immediately argue against it. Yeah, you kind of took that out there. But the thing is like the reason that people for week 17, the reason it's an argument for right now anyway, is because people want to play as many regular season games as possible for fantasy purposes to try and get the best teams in the playoffs. So if you do a 2 week one, which is what the guy was asking, it still comes down to the debate of like, well, do you want to cut off your season at week 13 instead of 14? So anyway, go ahead, Brad.
You were talking about the 18 game schedule. It's going to happen. I mean, you just look, 1960, they played 12 games, and here we are. We're what, 60 years later, they're at 17. So an average of every 12 years, you know, if you want to just do the numbers there, they add a game, they'll add it, you know, and it's been a long layoff, but now I don't expect that they're going to have just as long a layoff to add another game. I think it's what's going to happen is this is going to work out. They're going to feel like it works out. They're going to enjoy the extra money. They're going to say, oh, this, you know, inequitable schedule is not working. We need to add another game.
Yep.
And then they'll
cut back
out
the preseason even further.
Cut back his preseason even further. So that's going to happen. I think this is the step to making that happen.
Yeah. Every team should get a second bye. I would have been in favor of a second bye week with 16 games. I think with 18 games, that'll be something that the players' union will be able to secure. So, if heading that way, and I think that, you know, that could be fun, and then we'll see how they end up adding to the schedule. But what do we think
for...
Yeah, go ahead.
Ask the question. You might be asking the question.
By the way, can I
would say, what do we do in fantasy leagues? How do we how do we make the change? What's the best way to add in the 17th week? Push it back a week? I mean, do you make an argument for a 2 week championship game?
If that's the same thing that you can go back to. Look, if you want to start your playoffs in week 14 and go 14, 15, and then 16, 17 for the championship, that's fine. But you're going to get what I think is like you're going to get fewer games for everybody to play. And that's really what the appeal is. Like, how long do you want to keep everybody invested? So it's why you lose in points leagues in fantasy baseball, why you lose some people in September because they stop caring because they're not involved anymore. So. Right. I understand both arguments. Here's what I say. Like, I'm always going to give my recommendation to how that's why I have the best league settings And if you want to play that way, you want to play that way. If you don't, if you're Brandon, Brandon and I will argue about this till the end of the earth. But if you want to play that way, go play that way. I'm not saying don't. It's just this is what I would recommend for my reasoning. And so if you want to play that way. But I think the interesting thing is not even that, Mike, is, you know, for me, it's just easy. Push everything. Trade deadline. Everything goes back 1 week. It's very simple.
I agree. I'm with you there.
But I think draft strategy probably comes a little bit. I don't think it's going to be huge, but I think this will make a little bit bigger of a push towards the stalwart running backs. And even if you don't get one of them, even more weight on running backs, because you're going to see more timeshares keeping running backs healthy, like the Packers have been doing. Like, you're going to see the Packers being kind of more common than we've even seen already, because now you're also going to get to an extra week. And look at last year, everybody chasing Gaskin and everybody chasing Ballage and everybody chasing all these running backs at the end of the season. Those are still going to be there, but now they're going to probably be even an extra week of dealing with that. So you can kind of see where that gap widens a little bit of get your stud, and if you don't, just wait.
Yeah, I think that's true. I, you know, going back to the two-week championship, I think that's the smart way to go. That's probably the way I'll go, just because another reason people get disinterested if they're not in contention, but they also, it's a holiday season, right? And like, you're going to lose people anyway. So the the teams that are playing, they're playing well and playing for the championship, you're not going to lose their attention, but you're going to lose everybody else's. So I think that is the way to go. The only problem with that is not, I mean, you know, the providers, the game providers are going to have to be a lot more nimble with what they offer in terms of playoff schedules. Because I know that that's not, like, I know on Yahoo, I don't think you can do a two week playoff thing right now. I know you can on ESPN, but you know, some of these game providers are going to have to probably adjust and be a little bit more nimble in what they offer.
I like the idea of just pushing everything back. I like getting everyone a 14th regular season game without having to have a week 17, what we knew as week 17, now a week 18 championship game. But we get 14 regular season games for everyone. So I think I like that the best. But I could be there's a lot of fun ways to play fantasy, right? I could be talked into being in a league with a doubleheader championship, which would be a lot of fun for the two people who are involved in that doubleheader championship. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be something that's fun to talk about, fun to debate, and a change that none of us has dealt with, right? Unless some godfather of the industry remembers making the change back in 1978 when they were playing some sort of touchdown only league and were the only 10 people in the world who played fantasy football.
To go to what Brandon
Cliff
was saying
Carpenter
earlier,
or whatever, right? Charpentier.
Am I mistaken? I thought the seventh playoff game was, or playoff team was, only for 2020. Does that?
I was going to ask you guys that, because I wasn't sure if that was just a pandemic. You know,
I thought that was a pandemic and then reinvestigated.
Am I wrong about that? I thought, I could have sworn that was permanent.
Is it? That's what I'm asking, because, well, while you're looking,
I think it's permanent, like the DH was supposed to be permanent.
While you're double checking, what I was going to say, Brandon, what you said earlier about week 17, about more people rest, I actually think it could end up being fewer people resting, because now you have more people potentially still hunting for a playoff spot because another game. So we're still in it. When you're
right.
And then especially if it's a seventh team, but again, I thought the seventh team was thrown out there just for 2020. It's all CBA negotiating. Even the 17th game is the CBA stepping. It's their plan to, like you said, probably get an 18th week.
Yeah.
Well, can we just say, from a reality standpoint, this is horrible for the players. Football's brutal, you know, and all the players are grousing about this, and they should. I mean, it's way better what you were saying, Beller, with the two byes. If they go to 18 games with two byes, is way better than 17 games with one bye.
Yes, for sure. I mean, especially think about those teams, and I haven't seen anything like this, but like, they really should condense when the buys happen. Like, think about those teams that have like a week 4 bye.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. And then they're looking at playing like 4 months of unbroken football.
They should have like 8 teams on bye for a 4 week stretch.
Yeah.
And just have it be done, you know.
I'm having trouble finding information on this. I'm finding plenty of things about it, but I'm not seeing anything about if the change is temporary or permanent.
Yeah, see, I thought it was just like the whole, like, is this going to affect the 2020 season? And they're like, well, we will even have one. Like, I just remember that conversation. So I don't remember if it's permanent or not. We'll probably get
a million
people telling us we're stupid.
I think it's permanent. Everything I'm finding, there's definitely nothing that says it's temporary.
Right.
All right. We'll leave that hanging out there.
We'll figure it out. But I think I'm pretty sure
somebody do a better Google search than we're doing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's on, I'm on Zoom here. I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes as to when I'm going to time code everything.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it. I'm talking to you guys. I'm thinking about what I think we should do to change our fantasy footballs. It's a lot to do and then come up with the right Google search. So, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm ending the show. That's going to do it for us here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Like I said, the last show in March, we will be back with you next week. We'll start to dig a little bit into the NFL draft. And hey, I think April should be like an NFL draft themed month for us. And we'll talk about the draft and fantasy and fun gambling props that we can get into for the NFL draft itself. So looking forward to a fun April here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. For Brandon Funston and Jake Seeley, I am Michael Beller. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you're watching, because I should point at the camera and not at my screen. Thanks for watching. If you're watching, we'll talk to you later.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.